Now, here's a worrying stat for you. New research released today has revealed that the spark actually goes out of the love life of British couples at a particular point. It apparently dies 3 years, 16 weeks and 6 days into a relationship. So if you've been together for about 30 years, I don't know what you've been doing. I want to speak to Alex Fox, not just any old Alex Fox, but this is the multi-award-winning journalist, broadcaster and sex educator. Exactly the sort of person we need on this program. Indeed, a sex educator of the year 2016. Alex, good morning.
Hello there, my love. Wow, that was a very glittering introduction he gave me there. I feel super heroic.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, who beat you in 2017 if you were the sex educator of the year 2016?
Well, actually, I'm very good friends with most of the sex educators. We all swap tips with each other because we realise that in order for sex education to be comprehensive and do its job maximally well, it would be wrong for just one person to have the voice on those things. It's all really important that we communicate about our shared experiences. So I don't see it as a competition.
I like your style.
Says, making a voodoo doll of whoever won in 2017.
I do like your style, Alex. And of course, people will know you from some of the edgy programmes on the likes of Channel 5 and whatever. You're not afraid to say what you think. It is worrying that if someone's going to be, you know, with another person for the best part of about 30 years, the spark goes out of the sex after about 3 1/3 years. So, you know, what, there is a suggestion here that people prefer to watch box sets on Netflix as opposed to going to the bedroom. Is that true?
Well, I'm afraid that the news gets worse if you're in Northern Ireland. This was based on a survey of over 2,000 people that was conducted by an adult toy firm called PLSR. So they've got the buzz on all things that buzz in the boudoir. And they found actually that average time it took for relationships to go from sizzling to slightly fizzling in Northern Ireland was just 2 years, 1 month, 3 weeks and 3 days. So things are running out of steam a little bit faster in Ireland. And yes, Netflix is being blamed partially for that. 33%, a whole third of people in this region, admitted that as couples, they did prefer to watch Netflix together rather than being intimate. They'd rather turn the box on than get their rocks off. And they're so used to pressing those remote controls that they're actually becoming more remote emotionally and physically from each other.
You know, this is sad. This is sad. And it's interesting that it's sponsored by a company that provides adult toys. Are you suggesting that the toy is what's missing from the bedroom? Would this add the spark, add the excitement?
Well, that is undoubtedly one way that you can experiment and explore and keep things more exciting together as a couple. In fact, 54% of people in this survey said that they were up for that, that they'd give a gadget or a gizmo a whirl. And I found that quite a heartening statistic. So I think if you'd asked that same question a couple of decades ago, when sex toys were perhaps perceived as a bit more taboo and rather more stigmatised, fewer people would have said, yeah, you know, I'll give that a whirl. And they can add a new dimension to relationships. But that's far from saying that that's the only way that you can fix things. I think it's often very small tweaks that you can make with the person that you love that can have a really big impact. I also think it's worth remembering that it's very, very normal, especially in long-term relationships, for libido and lust to go up and down. I often compare it to a little sailboat. Totally standard for it to bob up and down on the ocean of life. It's if it sinks right to the bottom, if it's lost in the depths of doom and gloom, that's when you need to worry about it. And that's when you need to put in serious work if you want your relationship to work.
So presuming...
You might be interested, actually.
Yeah, but just let me ask you this. Presuming that you keep in mind that we're Northern Irish and we don't like to do anything that would be seen as too adventurous. We'd be, you know, lights out in the bedroom and don't do it if the neighbours are next door because they might hear it. You know, that's the sort of way we approach things in this part of the world. So we're unlikely to send off for any of your toys. So let's keep in mind that we're, you know, if we're not Presbyterians, we're Catholics. And if we're not Presbyterians, or Catholics were probably celibate. So that's the marketplace that you are now selling your wares in. This is Northern Ireland. We'd be much more interested in the Bible and a flag than we would be in something that's provided with frills on it. So let's go back to the standard couple who haven't done it for yonks. What's your advice to the person who maybe is thinking, I would like a little bit?
Well, you know what? Someone being really committed to their faith and committed to their religion shows that they have the capacity to really believe in something, to study it, to put their heart and soul into it. If you take that same attitude to your relationship, then that's got to be a good thing. And as I said earlier, it's sometimes very small tweaks that can help keep that spark alive. One thing that I love to do is, I think it's very, very easy if you're extremely tired at the end of a tough day and you're stressed and you're anxious. Very tempting, isn't it, just to open the door when you get home and slouch on the couch. You stick the telly on and then you're stuck there for the rest of the night. And one thing that I've found that works for me is that with partners I've had, we've agreed that when we both get home, rather than sticking our butts on the sofa, and I do realise that your show is sponsored by Sofa Land, so I'm not saying people shouldn't get sofas. We do need them to sit on occasionally. But when you get home, just go for a stroll around the block. It doesn't have to be more than 10 or 15 minutes. Hold hands with each other so you're establishing that skin-to-skin contact. It doesn't have to be anything X-rated or explicit. It's just reconnecting with each other after a hard day and giving your attention to the person you love rather than your attention to the TV. You might also find that if you do want to get things out in the open about your day, if you want to have a rant, if you want to get it off your chest, do that while you're out in the open. Do it while you're taking that stroll and agree with each other that once you get back home and you close that door, you're closing the door on the conversation about work. And for the rest of the night, you're going to dedicate yourselves to each other. You'll talk about your families, you'll talk about fun future plans, and you'll maybe have a bit of a kiss and a cuddle or whatever you feel comfortable with within the confines of your faith and your relationship.
How often should you be doing it, Alex? What's the guideline for a healthy relationship?
I don't believe in statistics on that. I think you should be doing it as often as it makes you and your partner happy. That sometimes requires compromise. It sometimes requires communication. It sometimes requires some literal as well as metaphorical meeting in the middle. But I really don't think people should worry too much about what their neighbours are getting up to and down to. I think folks should focus on what makes them happy. And on that note, I do think that a lot of people think about sex as just a penetrative act, when in fact there's lots and lots of other sexual things that you can do together that are really pleasurable. I'm talking about things like sensual massage or telling each other erotic stories or something simple just like jumping in the tub together, running a bubble bath. You don't have to go the whole hog in order to have a really beautiful, stress-relieving, connecting, relationship-strengthening experience of an evening. And as well, taking the pressure off all that humpy-rumpy-pumpy, if you will, can make it a lot more tempting to get intimate with someone if you don't think it's going to be a big, exhausting marathon session.
You know, I'm just wondering, you see this telling erotic stories to each other. We should have a little corner here on maybe a Thursday morning at 10:45, Erotic Story of the Morning. Call us now.
You know, there are podcasts out there. There's lots of people who read those kind of stories on podcasts. They're quite easy to find. I mean, that's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. And talking of tea, another simple thing that I do is I have what I call the kettle kisses rule. If I'm in a relationship, I'm Northern. I drink a whole lot of brews during the day. I boil my kettle a lot. I make sure that at least once a day, while that kettle is boiling, I will indulge in a really deep, focused, beautiful kiss with the person that I love. It's only a few minutes. I'll just kiss them as long as it takes for the kettle to boil. But it's just that daily reminder to focus yourself on your partner, to take that little bit of time out. And more often than not, by the time the water is hot, we are too.
Alex, I love your style. I really do. Your partner is a lucky person, whoever that partner is. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
It's been lovely to natter and chatter to you, and I hope everyone has a deeply pleasurable day.
That is the sex therapist Alex Fox, who could write scripts for Blind Date. There is no question or doubt about that. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. We probably won't have time this morning, but if you'd like to talk us through your sex life, our lines are open again tomorrow morning.